Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Real Estate U University Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here, jumping in live. Welcome to the Real Estate U University Podcast. I am so pumped today because we have a special guest. We've got Mrs. Whitney Nicely. Whitney is a real estate expert. She's a property investor, speaker, real estate coach. And today, she's called the queen of real estate investing in East Tennessee. That's not how she got started, though. Before quitting her 9-to-5, Whitney scraped by on a $24,000 a year salary, working a desk job, living on her parents' couch. That was back in 2013. Now, she owns more than $2.5 million in real estate assets, and she's only 33 years old. I'm guessing that you are very curious at this point about how this young and fired up investor, who she is, and so we have, and what she does. We have a special offer directly from Whitney on how she made six figures in 9 months, but you got to hang with us to the end to hear it. So on that note, let's get started. Hey, Whitney, how's it going?
I'm fantastic today. Thanks for having me, Grant. This is going to be fun.
This is going to be very fun. It's very nice to meet you. It seems like you've accomplished quite the feat over the last few years. Yep.
Well, it didn't happen on accident, and I won't tell you that a unicorn rode in and just handed me a bunch of money either. There was some work involved, but, you know, for 2 years worth of work, I've got a totally different life, and most people would rather give 2 years than 40 years and still have the same life.
100%. I see it day in and day out, and I am of the exact same belief. You know, I was 23 years old when I filed bankruptcy, and you know, I turned my life around, worked very hard, and in 4 years, you know, 27 now, it is unbelievable how different life can look if you just roll up your sleeves and you do the work and you don't chase the shiny objects and you just stick to one thing. There's a lot of lessons that I'm sure we both could sit here and riff on, but why don't you tell everybody, like, who is Whitney Nicely? What's your story?
So I, like you said earlier, I'm the fourth generation entrepreneur in my family. So I had a huge loyalty issue when I got out of the family business because for forever, our bucks have come from trucks. And when I said, nah, I don't want to do that, I really struggled with it. And it took a year or two before everybody was kind of okay with me going out and doing my own thing and not contributing like everybody else had done. But I, you know, there was part of me that wanted to help the family, and there was a part of me that said, I'm going to kill somebody if I stay here. So I had to go. And I started investing slow and steady. I did it the regular way first. I bought two houses with my whole life savings. In fact, I bought one house with my life savings. And I bought the second one with my brother's life savings. So we were broke. House rich, but money poor, however that goes. Like, yeah. We had nothing. But we had two houses that we were renting out, and I didn't have a plan or a strategy or nothing. And when I did start to look at some numbers, it was going to take like 115 years to be able to live the entrepreneur life that I dreamed of. Right. Mm-hmm. So I had to put another plan into place and get down and dirty and get some more deals. So over the next probably 15 months, I did a whole bunch of deals. I ended up adding 10 houses to our portfolio, and we're coming up on tax time now. So that second year that my brother and I were in business, he was my silent partner, and he called me one day out of the blue, and he was like, holy crap, Whitney, do you know we have 12 houses? And I was like, really? That's interesting. I thought we had more. And he was like, how did that happen? What are you doing? And I was like, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. I'm going to go buy another house today. But he's along for the ride, and he enjoys the houses that we have now.
That's really cool. Do you have a favorite deal that you've ever done?
Yes. Okay, so my favorite deal is not a house deal, actually. I was hanging out. I bid on auctions. I'm an auctioneer also, but just real estate auctions. But I was on my favorite auctioneer's company's website, and they were having an auction in my honey hole for just a half acre piece of land. And I bought it for $1,500. I put my high bid in at $1,500, and I woke up with an email that said I'd won it for like $1,200, but we had closing and all these other things. So this half acre piece of industrial land, I bought it for $1,500. And then 3 months later, I started renting the driveway to my neighbor because they needed to get to the back of their property, and they'd been using this road or driveway, but turned out half of it was mine. So I rented them the driveway for $250 a month. So within 6 months, I had my whole $1,500 back. And then last winter, I started renting the land plus the driveway. I started renting the land to another company. I get $500 a month off of that one. So every month I get $750 cash flow with no overhead, no roofs, no plumbing, no nothing. Mm-hmm. And every other month I get my full investment back. And that's the best deal I've ever done. I mean, you can't hardly beat making your money every other month unless you did it every month.
Right. That's incredible. That's incredible.
The returns on that are really infinite.
You built up a nice business for yourself. You've got, you know, what is your business doing now? From what I'm seeing, you know, your cash flow over $25,000 a month. How did you grow to that?
I've got 19 houses. I've got 16 in Tennessee and 3 in Georgia. I've also got 19 apartment units, mm-hmm. all in East Tennessee. And those are over 3 complexes. And then I've got 7 chunks of land, like that little chunk I told you about. Yep. I probably get the best return on investment from my land than I do the houses. So the land and then the apartments and then the houses.
That's awesome. Well, congrats. Congrats.
Thank you.
I say congrats, but that came from hard work, right? That came from just sticking your nose in the ground and doing what you're supposed to do.
I would imagine. It came from getting creative too. My house deals were lease options or owner financing. And then I would sell those back out on lease options. So when I got, you know, a tenant buyer to come in and they'd give me $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000, I would take those big lumps of money that I was getting and I would pay off other houses. So that I've got about half of my houses free and clear already. And then the other half, I've got a plan this year to get them paid off, have all my apartments paid off by next year. And that way I've got cash flow coming in that I can live on and I don't have to do any deals. So really I had a 5-year plan to get retired.
That's awesome. And you teach other people how to do this as well, right? You teach, you know, predominantly women, right, is who you work with. And how does that work? What do you do?
I do teach women how to get started in investing. And it's no offense to the fellas out there, but there's plenty of guys.
You got to build your own tribe, right?
Yeah, exactly. How to invest. And what I struggled with when I got started is I would go to these boot camps and I'd hire these mentors and I had all these men around me and they would tell me what to do and I would go out and do it, but it just didn't make sense in my crazy girl brain. So I would have to go back and translate it into, you know, woman talk and then go out and then it would work. So I've taken all of that translating out of it. And now I just teach women in our language how to go out and get these deals done.
That's very interesting. I like that a lot. That's very interesting. It's very believable too. not to knock any woman whatsoever, but I am married. I have a wife and, sometimes I do not know how to communicate in ways that I probably should.
It's just different. And as much as everybody wants us to all be the same, we're not. And we just think different. We process different. We have different priorities. And I figured out how to break all that down, make it super simple, and relay it to other women in a way they can also relate to.
Understand.
Then go out and talk to their sellers and get these deals done.
So just out of curiosity, what do you think is the biggest, because I'm trying to learn here too. You know, I'm trying to make sure that I come away with this from some golden nuggets. What do you think, and we could solve like a huge issue worldwide here. What do you think is like the best thing that you've seen or the greatest thing that you've learned around the difference in communication between men and women?
Women are naturally more of a team player, I believe. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, way back in the day, you know, we used to sit around and cook and sew and do things like as a group, whereas mm-hmm. men would go out and hunt and find things and, you know, they'd cheer on somebody who shot the big whatever, but it was really always kind of a competition who's going to actually bring home the bacon.
Right.
And that's the same way I see it now. Men want to go out and they want to be the one that got the best deal. They want to be the one that brought home the biggest thing. Whereas women, we still want to be a team. We still want to have this person do that and this person do this and this person do that. And it all rolls together. And I know men have teams and they have systems and they've got all that going, but they still want to be able to puff their chest up and say, I did it. I did it. I did it.
Yes.
Whereas women, we kind of want to do it and go on. We want to do it and go on. Do it and go on.
Men definitely crave some of that recognition. One of my favorite quotes, a buddy shot me one time. I didn't tag him in a Facebook post. He was kind of upset about it. And we were joking. He said, look, man, recognition, or I think it was recognition or attention or something like that. It said, you know, babies cry for it and grown men die for it. So you want to make sure that you're making sure that you recognize the people that are around you, especially the men that need that recognition.
Absolutely. Another thing that I see that I think is really weird, when my men, I did teach men there for a while. I don't really do it anymore, but they would make $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 and they would sit on it and be like, I'm the best ever. And they wouldn't do anything for the next month or two. They were like, well, I did it.
That's awesome.
Whereas my women, they would have a $3,000 day, a $12,000 day, a $15,000 day, a $30,000 day. And the next day they were back out there talking to sellers. They did not sit on it. It was almost like it didn't even happen.
That's good. That's good.
And so I have to say, time out. Wait a second. Let's enjoy this at least for a minute. You just made $30,000, which is more than you used to make in your job. Or a lot of women I talk to are stay-at-home moms. They weren't bringing in any money. Then they bring in two $30,000 days in a month. And they're like, all right, but now what are we going to do? I'm like, let's celebrate that for a second. Hold on.
Let's go have a nice dinner and talk about it. And then tomorrow we can go back to work. Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I'm a marketer, 100%. Like I spend 1,000% of my time and attention in the real estate industry, but not necessarily on the deal side. I'm just getting into doing a ton of deals. I got into doing deals because I wanted to prove that my marketing strategies worked. And so I spent $150 in Facebook ads and I bought this house for $40,000, getting ready to close next week. I'll make, I think, around $8,000 net on the transaction. So I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to keep doing that. But I love to look at everything from a marketing standpoint. And so my question to you, good question, I think, what do you feel like was the best marketing advice you've ever been given for going out and finding deals?
People like people. And that's where I think women really shine in this area too, because men want to be all about the corporate and the, you know, the face of it and the formality. Whereas women are more ready to say, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. We want to communicate more. We want to let everybody know what we're doing more. And so I actually don't teach Facebook paid ads. I teach like 19 different strategies on Facebook to use your personal page to build relationships, to keep sellers coming into your inbox and keeping your pipeline full that way. I have a lady that lives in California. She is flying to Colorado today. She made one post on her personal page and then she made another post in a local yard sale group, a buy, sell, and trade group.
Yep.
And she got 4 leads in 24 hours and she's flying. She did that post on Monday. She's flying out on Wednesday to go talk to 2 of those sellers. She got 1 under contract on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So she used no money and bought a house. She may get 2 houses today instead of 1, making, now, I don't know how much yet.
I have another question that I like because, you know, me, I'm in the paid advertising space and it's 100% what we do and 100% what we teach in a lot of cases. So my curiosity, my question to you is when you look at teaching somebody to do an organic strategy, my curiosity is, do you spend a lot of time teaching that cost of acquisition mentality? Like how much does it cost you to get a deal? And if you do, do you feel like it's better to trade your money for money or your time for money? Because it feels like that if you're going to go out and trade your time to work up all of these transactions, it's not necessarily as scalable. Not knocking anything that you teach because it's 100% an awesome strategy, you know, building that organic reach and building that organic following. But have you ever, or do you ever, you know, really bring it down and ground it in, you know, how much did it cost you in time? And is that scalable or not?
I haven't put a money figure on that. When I used to do a lot of direct mail, so yellow letters, yep. You know, I'd order and spend $1,500 and order, you know, about 1,500 mailers. And then if I got 1 deal per 100, I was, you know, making 5, 10, 15,000. So I could count that, but I don't know really how I would calculate it on the organic side. So I guess, no, I don't do that.
That's cool. No, it's totally cool. I teach the strategies
and don't really focus on.
Yeah, no. That's awesome. I mean, I'm just curious because I, you know, it's something that we try to help people understand is, you know, really the easiest way to calculate that is how much revenue did you generate in the last 90 days and how many hours did you work to get that? And that's going to give you a basically an hourly figure. You know, I value my time around $2,000 an hour. And so basically all you gotta do is reverse engineer it. How much are you value your time per hour? $500, $1,000, $2,000. And then how much time did it take you to drum that deal up? And that's usually just the equation that we throw out there, because it makes sense when you're looking at growing and scaling a business. You know, you want to trade, like we were talking about, you want to trade your money for money, not necessarily trade your time for money. But please don't think that I'm knocking anything that you're doing whatsoever, because, you know, I love the branded content strategies, the organic strategies, going out there and building up a following and building somewhat of that, you know, grassroots type movement that you will create with a lot of the stuff that you're teaching, you know, these women to do. So that's awesome.
Thank you.
So we got time for just a couple more things. Let's give out some tips. I'm all about giving out my best secrets. And, you know, if you have any questions, I'll happily answer on a paid traffic standpoint. But what do you say are like two or three tips that for all the ladies that are out there listening and they want to come do business with Whitney Nicely, you know, what are a couple of tips that you could give them that could get them some results, or at least, you know, validate, not necessarily validate, but get them some attention so they know, like, okay, this really does work. This really is going to, you know, help me generate some leads. What are some social media organic reach tips that you would give?
The first thing that I like to do, I have a 7-day lead challenge to help you get the leads coming in. And the first day, the very first thing we do is I want you to go stand in front of an empty house. Mm-hmm. And I'll teach you how to find an empty house if you've never done that before. But stand in front of an empty house and take a selfie in front of it, and then post that up as your profile picture on Facebook. And then in the little description, just say, hey, y'all, I'm looking for empty houses. If you know somebody that wants to get rid of one, send me a message.
That's awesome.
Because you will be surprised how many people, you know this too, how many people do you know that they're ashamed they've got this empty house? They're down on themselves because they know they should be doing something with this. And maybe they inherited a house that they don't really want, or maybe they just quit taking care of a house, or, you know, so many people have so many houses and they don't really want to talk about it. They just ignore it and pay the taxes on it. So if you can be the person that comes out and says, hey, no judgment here, I just want to buy your house, let me make you some offers, people come out of the woodworks.
Yes, they do.
Because you're somebody they can confide in. They can confess their sins to
100%.
You. 100%. And it works like a charm.
It absolutely does. And that's one of the things that I usually try to point out to investors or anybody, really, like, hey, this is still a relationship business.
Yes.
You have to understand, people go through three basic consumer levels of awareness when it comes to, you know, becoming a motivated seller and then actually wanting to do business with somebody. And that thing that they came through is real freaking life. Like, they got hit with job loss or bankruptcy or parental loss. And that's real stuff. And people don't want to just, like, get on the phone with some ISA that's trying to close them on an appointment in 5 minutes. Like, they want to build a relationship with a real person that's going to be able to empathize with them and understand. It's kind of like that deal that I did. Never done a deal, like I said, in my entire life, but showed up to this house. Dude's not wearing a shirt. He's got cockroaches running around. He's smoking a cigarette with his, like, 18-ounce beer can sitting right next to him. And I was making a joke. I was speaking at an event a couple of weeks ago, and I said I sat down on this dude's crusty-ass couch, and I just had a conversation with him because I've been there. I know it sucks. And we sat there for 20 minutes, and we talked about hunting, and we talked about Harleys, and we talked about anything that he wanted to talk about. And this dude went from feeling like his life was in shambles to a big, huge smile on his face just because I was willing to sit there and spend time with him. Yeah. And that's so true. So true. Awesome. Awesome point.
Another thing, just to go off that too, when I teach my ladies how to talk to sellers, we have a seller lead sheet that we go through, and it's just a whole bunch of questions that I want you to ask the seller. So many people feel like they need to close in 5 minutes. They need to get a yes or a no on the phone within 5 minutes, and it is not like that at all. It's really a relationship, and the more you can let people talk, the more they like you. It seems reversed that you need to sell, but you need to shut up and listen.
That whole speed to lead thing is such a flawed mentality, because people, I think real estate agents, I think mortgage officers, I think all of you, if you're listening to this right now, you need to understand that if you just spent time with the lead that you have in front of you, you would need to generate like 20% of the leads you actually go out there and try and generate. Because people just want to talk to people. People like people. I love that quote. I appreciate that so much. It's so, so, so profoundly true. Stop trying to speed your way through everything because you want to get deal flow. You'll get more deal flow with less leads if you just spend time with people.
And going on that, we can do some math here. So a lot of the gurus, a lot of the real estate coaches, they want you to send out 1,000 letters every week. They want you to talk to 200 people every day and blah, 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 blah. I want you to talk to one person a day, so 5 sellers a week, which is not hard. And then I want you to go look at those 5 houses. But when you're there, I want you to make 3 offers per house. So you only need 5 people a week, but you can make 15 offers a week. That's 60 offers a month. Mm-hmm. That is not going to overload anybody, especially I'm talking to busy moms. I'm talking to women that already own a small business. I'm talking to the third or, you know, second or third generation in a family business, just wanting their own little side thing that still brings in 6 figures, you know?
Yeah. But little side hustle that makes
time to talk to 200 people a day, talk to one person a day, yeah. Look at their one house, make them 3 offers. That's it.
Love it. I love it. I love it. All right. So we got time for one more social media tip. What else would you tell somebody? What last golden nugget could you give somebody about finding deals on social media organically?
Whenever you post on social media, if you're going to be in real estate investing, every post needs to be about real estate investing. You get one thing with people. People are going to lump you into a box and just be okay with that. If you want to be the best ballet mom, then post all about ballet. But if you want to be a real estate investor, you need to post all about real estate investing. And you could take a picture of your ballerina in the front yard of some empty house and say, hey, guess what Princess found today? Another empty house. Like, you can keep the kids in the mix. You can talk about real estate and have some fun with it. But if you're going to be in real estate, if your hopes and dreams in retirement are hinging on buying houses and apartments, every single post you put up has got to be about real estate.
It's one of the greatest lessons I've ever learned in business, especially after owning 6 companies before I filed bankruptcy, is that focused attention is one of the most important things that you could ever do. You need to be known for the most well-known for one thing. I like Tony Robbins' quote here. It's like, people overestimate what they can do in a year and they underestimate what they can do in 10. And if you sit back and realize that, you know, like you're talking about, in 2 years, your entire life can change. Imagine what happens in 10 years, right? Just imagine who you become. And imagine what you become known for. And I think it just has profound effects. Whitney, thank you so much for stopping by here and dropping some content bombs on us. I appreciate the knowledge. I appreciate what I've learned. And you know, I just appreciate you being willing to share your value with the world. If somebody's sitting here and they're listening to this and they're like, I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I'm a woman and I want to invest in real estate, how can they connect with you?
You can go to whitneynicely.com, or I'm Whitney Nicely on YouTube and Whitney Nicely on Facebook.
Awesome. We'll have all of those ways that you can connect with Whitney in the comment section. Please make sure that you share this content so other people can see it. Make sure that you rate us on iTunes and on Google Play. We appreciate you guys for listening. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave us some comments, and make sure that you stay tuned for the next episode of the Real Estate University Podcast. Thank you all for listening.